Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness. This is such an amazing day. I just want to welcome you wherever you are, whatever time zone you're in. On this very day, you get to experience this show. So just know that you are exactly where you're meant to be at this very moment, and that today's messages received from the show are precisely what are intended for you to hear. It is all perfect all the time. I'm going to go ahead. This is Charmaine Olswang. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to be a part of the show and have not yet called in with questions or comments, we're going to take them around the half hour, but the call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So because this is my very first Life Coach Radio Network show, I was going to share with you a little bit about me. I'm just super, super grateful and honored to be hosting my very own show on the Life Coach Radio Network. Today's topic, saying yes to your most fabulous life, is how I got to this very moment. I spent 20 years in corporate America, and I kind of lovingly call it or refer to it as being in the hamster wheel of life. It was a beautiful job. It was great to earn income and support my family, and it did its purpose for many years, but I just knew something in my core, like deep in my heart, just knew that I was meant for more. And being in equity trading was never meant for me. I even bombed economics in college. It just clearly was not my calling. But I look at it as like a season, and it clearly wasn't meant to be my entire life. But it took me being to getting comfortable in that rat race to realize that this is truly not what I want to do, and that I wanted to create a life that I could love living every single day. So, that's just kind of how I got to where I am now, and I feel like I'm living a life and a movement that I can create and keep recreating for the rest of my life, regardless of my age, and I just intend to inspire people until my very last breath. But back in 2011, I was approached by this woman who I thought was crazy. She asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I was really rude, and I laughed sarcastically at her, like, I am grown up. What a ridiculous question that is. And in hindsight, I just see how unhappy and miserable I was. I was living somebody else's life. I was doing what somebody else wanted me to do, living, you know, in what seemed to be on the outside a really great existence, but on the inside of my heart, I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilling. And I just knew that there was much more for me and that I had a greater purpose in my world. So I spent 2 decades doing the corporate America thing and realized that I'm not going to spend one more minute living a life that I'm not completely in love with. So I did some meditating, some praying at that time in my life, and came upon my purpose, which was always my underlying passion for coaching, supporting, and guiding others. And, I just realized that was something that I was going to continue on that path versus staying in the monotony of the world I had created for 20 years. So as revealing and exciting as it was to hone in on that and to realize that I had a different calling that I was going to go follow, it was just equally as scary. In fact, it truly scared me to death. And I was not much of a risk taker. I'm not much of a risk taker in general, but I know that if I want to get to the other side of the swimming pool, I must let go of this side of the wall. And I get really content and liking the wall, and it just it's so much more fun though when I let go and just start swimming. So saying yes for me has been the most terrifying and the most rewarding practice that I've incorporated into my life. And I feel like I've truly been on the most exciting journey ever. And I look forward to what my future yeses are going to create. But before I go any further, I'm just super excited and so grateful for this opportunity. One of my biggest fearful yeses introduced me to today's extraordinary guest. While trusting the process of divine intervention, I was blessed to meet this phenomenal light worker. She has been featured in Allure magazine and The Daily Love and on Dr. Phil, The Doctors, and many more. I am beside myself with excitement and gratitude to share today's show with my beautiful guest. And for her saying yes to my very first radio show and supporting my dream, I get to introduce you to a woman that is truly changing the world in ways that are shifting our consciousness, our emotional intelligence, and our self-love unlike any other. She's one of my most inspirational, passionate, powerful, loving, and giving transformational friends and mentors, and I'm honored to introduce you to a woman I love and admire, Jenna Phillips.
Oh my goodness, what an incredible introduction. I'm blushing over here. Thank you, Charmaine.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for saying yes to this and for being the light and the support that you are in my life and that you are in this world and that the changes you have intended to make or you are intending to make in millions and millions of people's existence. I've just got so much gratitude for you, Jenna. And well, I know all about you, but why don't you share with the listeners a little bit more about yourself, who you are, what you're up to. Just give them an idea of who Jenna Phillips is.
Where do I start? You know, there's a lot of, I have so many stories to tell. I feel like I've lived about 7 different lifetimes so far and since I've been introduced to this planet in this lifetime. But for me, I think what calls to me more than anything else is the title that I've given myself, which is a total wellness philosopher. Because I used to call myself a personal trainer and I used to call myself a life coach, but I realized the scope of my work is so much bigger than that. So I call myself a total wellness philosopher because the overall wellness of our life, of our body, of our spirit, of our soul, of our mind, I mean, it really comes down to the way that we philosophize in our life, like our philosophy is the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we talk to ourselves. And my career began when I'm 32 now. My career began when I was 23. And I started off as a personal trainer. I was teaching Pilates, and I'd been a teacher for about a month. And then I got hired to be Ben Fuller's personal trainer. And so that was just an amazing experience of complete abundance and being in the right place at the right time, but also knowing that I can manifest anything. And so it was an amazing gift. And this is a perfect story about the saying yes to life. Because the story that I made up was, I don't know what I'm doing. I have only been a trainer for a month. I have no clue how to get Ben Fuller in the best shape of his life. But it was I had an opportunity to do that. So I just said yes. I mean, I could have said, there's just no freaking way. And I would have been terrified and the fear that it was going to ruin my career and a bunch of other stories that I could have come up with. But I decided to say yes to that opportunity. And it was a beautiful ride. And I actually got clear on what my overall purpose actually is when I was on this job. Because I loved the interaction and the connection and the one-on-one and the transformation that I got to experience with him. But I felt very limited. I realized that my vision was so much bigger than just working with one person at a time. And that's when I got the vision for my website. And so I have a lot of different stories to tell, and I don't want to keep talking. So I just want to, I'll pass off to you now. But yeah, that's essentially where my vision began when I was training Ben Stiller when I was 23 years old. That's forever ago.
It is. And 23, I mean, for most of us, and I have a feeling most of the people that are listening in, are 23 is just a baby. And to be given an opportunity like that is just so, I can't even imagine what that felt like for you and not being completely confident in your craft yet, only doing that for a month. But truly just saying yes and taking that leap. And I mean, I know that there are many yeses in your life that you have said that were very scary and terrifying at the moment, but give me a couple words, like give me an example or a description of what it said like from the moment you got the call about Ben Stiller and feeling all those like incompetent thoughts that came to your mind versus like saying yes and then the first time you met him. Like what was that, what did that journey look like from scared to death, saying yes anyway, and then being with him and actually the moment coming to life?
Well, it was really interesting because I remember when the owner of the Pilates studio asked me, like he was training Ben Stiller at the time, and Ben Stiller had to go on location for a night at the museum. And he asked the owner of the studio to go with him, but he had a business to run and a family, so he couldn't just leave. So he's like, well, I'll give you my best trainer. So he asked me, he just pulled me aside. He's like, hey, how do you feel about training Ben Stiller on location for like 4 or 5 months? And instantaneously, I was like, holy crap. And then I said, well, let me just think about that for a second. Of course, like, absolutely. I just instantaneously said yes, because I knew that it was something that I had been asking the universe for. I've been asking the universe for a really amazing opportunity, and I didn't really know what that meant, and I didn't know what it was going to look like. But I was asking the universe for something really powerful, for me to just really elevate myself and support me getting clarity on what I wanted to create in this world. So here comes this opportunity, and I was like, okay, well, I get to say yes to this because I completely manifested it. And I remember when I said yes to that experience, it was really interesting what became alive for me, what became available for me. And it's almost like the seas parted. Like everything just kind of fell into place for me. And the transition from living in Los Angeles to being able to leave and go do this job was really, really awesome, because I trusted. I trusted myself and I trusted the universe. And I remember before I actually met Ben, I called one of my good friends and I told her what was about to happen. I said, I'm not going to tell anybody else. I'm just going to tell you. And I think there was a little bit of fear that, like, well, if I tell everybody and it doesn't happen, I don't want to look like an idiot. But I didn't want to jinx it also. Like, that was the story I made up, that I was going to jinx it if I talked about it. So I just told my one friend, and I just was very excited about it and choosing to be humble in the experience and just know that it was perfect. And then when I finally met him, it was really cool because I don't really get starstruck by people. But I really enjoyed training him. Like, it was really awesome. So we did like a trial session at the studio and we got along. We had a really good time and it was perfect. I mean, it just felt right. And, I said, I get to do this and I totally am worthy of this. I asked for it and I'm just going to go for it and trust that I'm going to figure it out. And I did. I wound up getting him in the best shape of his life.
That's so awesome. I happen to love that movie, by the way. They didn't do him any shirtless pictures or anything of him, but I'm sure he was in great shape because he had to be very physical during the entire movie. So that's
yes,
really exciting. Some things that came up for me when you were sharing, it was like early on when you were calling for this kind of opportunity. You were asking for it. I think so many of us do that where we're not happy with where we are right this moment for whatever reason, but we say, well, if I just had this, or I'm asking God, the universe, divine energy, whatever it is that you relate to, and you're saying, I just want that. I want that relationship. I want that car. I want that financial bank account. I want that. But we're so vague about it sometimes, or that we're just not clear enough. Maybe we don't even clearly know. But when you said that you were asking for something like this, and then here, 1 month into training, you get landed this awesome opportunity, and it's like, whoa, I didn't know that's what it was going to look like. Like, was that what I was asking for? Because I wasn't really sure. It's like we want something, but yet sometimes if I'm not specific enough, I may get something that's nothing like what I thought I was asking for, but it's actually even greater.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I'll be a little bit more specific, because what I actually was asking for was an exit, because I was in a very unhealthy relationship, and I was living with him at the time, and we were living together, and I just knew that the relationship was not going to work out, but it was financially challenging for me to move out and for the relationship to end. And so I was just clear that I was not meant to be in this relationship, and I was ready for something different and ready for what I knew that I was truly worthy of, which was a powerful relationship. But I knew that the powerful relationship was going to come with myself first, and I really wanted to be in a loving, committed relationship with myself. So I remember I kept asking the universe for an exit. I said, I just need an exit. I just need a way, a reason, like a perfect exit to get out of this relationship. And then I get this opportunity to leave, to be gone for 4 months. And I actually knew what the reaction that my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend, was going to have was he was not going to be happy for me, which was another very clear indicator of why I should not be in that relationship. So I remember when I did tell him, he was very upset. He started to cry because I was going to be in New York, in Vancouver. And rather than being overjoyed and excited and happy for me, he saw that experience as something that was happening to the relationship rather than something that was happening for me in my career. And that was like even more of a clear indicator of like who I really wanted to be with. And so it was perfect. You know, I got to leave and had a lot of downtime and alone time. And, you know, we got to sort some things out while I was gone. And it just became very clear for me that it wasn't the relationship for me. And so that was, it supported me in like having like such a red, massive red flag as to like why I should not be in that relationship. So that was it. But that, exactly that, what you said, you know, sometimes we're not clear with the universe about what it is that we're asking for. And I didn't say like, hey, universe, I really want to have like a really amazing client. I just said, I just need an exit. So I got that. And then in addition to having an exit, I also had something that was provided for me that catapulted my career and therefore, as a result, brought me so many more amazing clients.
That is awesome. That is so great. And that's where my experience has been as well, is when I say yes, even without knowing really what that's going to look like, but just truly trusting that like this is part of my divine journey. This is the path I meant to take. So just saying yes, including, like I mentioned in the opening to this radio show, I got an email. I was part of the network and through LinkedIn, and they sent out a message to people just saying, is anyone interested in having a radio show? And I was like, yes. And then I sent the email and I didn't hear back. And I was like, okay, see, they didn't want me. I wasn't meant to do this. Like I had totally created a story about why I wasn't hearing back right away.
Amazing.
And in another moment of bravery, I wrote again and I said, hi, this is Charmaine again, and I'm still interested in the radio show. Can you tell me more about it? And still heard nothing back. So again, creating another story about like they must already have someone that's got experience. They don't want me. They don't know me. And about a week after that, so here it had been about 2 weeks from my initial yes, and in the meantime, all my insecure reasons for it not happening, this woman, Danielle, calls me and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I haven't gotten back to you. I was at a retreat where we had no electronics for 2 weeks, so I didn't get any of the emails. So here again, I had created this whole inaccurate story, and it was really because she never even got my first email. And we spoke, and it was like chemistry right away. And she's like, you're going to be our next show person. You're going to have your own show. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And now that that had happened, I mean, all the way up until a few minutes ago, I was just freaking out because here I said yes to something that I truly don't really know. I have no experience in radio shows. I have no experience in any of this, but I do have experience in people. And that something is trusting myself and knowing that like, if I could get you on board and I could, you know, pull together some friends who could be my support system while I'm getting ready to jump off this cliff, then I'm always going to be protected. I'm always going to be guided to the next best thing for me. And that's what I see happening. And you saying that you needed an exit, it's like not only was this just an exit, you just got launched into something that was far greater than anything you had ever even imagined. And from there, we get to keep saying yes and keep dreaming and continue to create this life of extraordinary living that, for I'd say the majority of my life, I've lived in this box of, well, I can't get any further. I can't become president of the company. I mean, I'm not gonna own the company one day. You know, like I limited myself to like at 30. I think I was 36 when this woman had questioned me with, what do I want to be when I grow up? I thought that this is it. I'm pretty 36 years old and I'm done. Like this is as far as I'm gonna get. And looking back now, it's been an incredible handful of years, like 4 or 5 years, and it's just been like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? Like that was my cap. That was where I was settling for that. Like, holy cow, it's been blown completely out of the water. And one thing after the next keeps happening for me when I say yes with total fear, but trust and faith that it's going to work out for my best. And it has every single time. I would say out of the thousands of yeses I've said yes to in the last 5-6 years, that one of them, only one, was I said yes to something. I completed it full out with excellence and did it perfectly. And I was like, I never want to do that again. Like, that's just not my cup of tea. But it's okay. Like, I had to say yes and go do it in order to find out that it wasn't really something that I would like to do again, because I really believed I would. I was like, oh, I want to do exactly that. And that's totally my thing. I want to do that. And so I said yes to the opportunity. And I was like, no, I don't know what I was thinking, but this really isn't what I want to do. But had I not been given that opportunity, I would never fully know. So I'm just having so much fun living life and saying yes to things. And then, of course, like, for me, and I believe the same for you, is gratitude is gigantic in my life. Like, gratitude for anything that we have creates and opens the doors for more abundance to come into our life. And abundance doesn't always look like a bank account or money. It could be that exit to that relationship that actually opened the doors to the life you're living now, which wouldn't have been possible had you stayed with that same guy who was also pulling you down, limiting you, not supporting you in your journey. But had you settled for something like that, you would have never known the opportunities that stood just on the other side of the corner. And so I think that's fantastic. And I knew there was never any coincidence why we are drawn to people that that we are, because I believe that we're all here to teach each other and to just really learn from each other's experience. So thank you so much for that share. Is there, let's pick, I know there's thousands, but let's pick one other time in your life and share with the listeners how you questioned, you know, or you might have been a little bit hesitant, but you said yes anyway, you went with it, and then the outcome that came from that.
I think the probably the most powerful, gosh, I honestly have so many, but one that just came alive for me, because the most beautiful man in the whole universe just walked into the room. He's my fiance, so I'll speak into that. and you know him, so you.
I
so
do.
That's why you're probably totally loving this right now.
I am.
So yeah, I met my fiance Brad Ballard on Match.com. And I was very, very resistant to the whole concept behind Match.com. And ultimately that was just like ego stuff, because I was like, I don't need to go on Match, and I'm going to meet my soulmate when we're both reaching for the same apple at farmer's market. And it's going to be total serendipity, and like, it's going to be amazing and magical. And that's how I always envisioned me to meet my guy. But I was experiencing life on a very extreme level in a lot of ways. Like, I was experiencing a lot of success. I trained a bunch of celebrities, and so my career was doing really well. And I was happy, and I knew that I was a catch. Like, I knew that about myself, but I wasn't meeting my guy. And so then, because I kept having like all these failed experiences and relationships, I was like, maybe I'm not that great after all. And maybe I made up all these stories about myself that, like, whatever. But it didn't feel good. I mean, the stories I was making up did not feel good, and it wasn't serving me. And so I had a few friends who were on Match.com, and they're like, oh, you got to try it. It's so awesome. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's just so weird. I'm so not enrolled in that concept. But I figured, like, okay, whatever. I can't be completely closed off to one specific avenue, because what if the way I'm supposed to meet my guy is on Match.com? Like, what if that's the way that the universe wants me to meet my guy? So I was like, all right, I'll be open. I'll just give it a shot. And I wound up signing up for Match.com and went on a few dates, and they were horrible, like super awful. And so I was like, oh, this Match.com business is not for me. So I wound up getting off of Match.com. And then something just told me to sign back up and just trust and just go for it. And then I think it was the very next day, Brad sent me a message on Match.com, and it was great because in my profile is very specific about the need for whoever I go on a date with has to be, like, has to know the difference between your, there and there, and 2, 2, and 2. And like, he wrote me this amazing message that was completely grammatically correct and super creative and witty and funny. And, And I love that. Like, he took the time to read my profile. He didn't just look at my pictures and be like, hey, or hi. Like, he actually put time and effort into the message. And it was really creative. And so I was like, okay, like, and it's cute. Like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And so we wound up exchanging a couple emails and then moved to text messages. And then I accidentally called him. I don't know what was happening in my brain, but my brain said to call him. And I was like, no, I'm not supposed to call him first. But anyway, so we wound up talking on the phone. And it was great. We got to know each other and then went on a first date. And on our second date, we knew that we were going to spend the rest of our life together. So it was just very magical.
I love that. And your whole description of, like, reaching for the same apple at the farmer's market was, like, how it had to be. Like, this is how I'm going to find my soulmate. It has to be this specific.
I was and so then, clear. I was.
I love that. So kind of we get in our own way sometimes with, like, how clear we think we are on something. It's like, well, if it doesn't happen exactly like that, then it's not meant to be. We're not fate. You know, we're not twin flames. Mm-hmm. We're not meant to be together. But yet you found him in a way that's, like, not as aligned to kind of who you are and how you would normally look for a romantic partner on the internet. But I'm not knocking that. I'm just grateful that I've been with my husband for 20 years. So this was long before we even had those kind of things. And I can't imagine what it was like to be single again and have to find your soulmate on the internet. But now we have a success story. I know it's possible. There are the good people still out there on there. It's not just a bunch of weirdos with a fake picture of some model body that they're actually some really creepy guy sitting in a dark place.
Yes, this is true.
So I love that. There were so many yeses in that story too, because and I just have to laugh about the grammatically correct, because I'm super anal about that too. And it's so, like, not a deal breaker, because I don't know that my husband would know the difference between the three like yours, but I still, like, want to make sure that I don't know. That's just I can totally align to that that necessity, and this person needs to know that. If at 21 I hadn't found my husband, I might have been a little bit more particular, but I guess at the time the grammatical stuff wasn't as important to me as how hot my husband is. So I was more
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he is. Thank you. So, wow, that's fantastic. I love that. So what other ways now? I kind of in the intro that I put for our episode information, I typed up some thoughts that I had behind what keeps us from saying yes. I mean, I think that so often, more often than not, the general population says no to things and to simple happiness. Like, they know in their heart and everything about them is like, yeah, that'd be so much fun. I totally want to do that. And they're like, no, I can't. I don't have enough money, enough time, enough whatever. I don't have it. So let's speak into some of the things that putting on your coaching hat, and these can also be limitations in the physical body, because I know you're also an instructor in spin, so I'm sure you see people say, well, I can't do that, and they limit themselves before they even try it, or they say no before seeing what yes looks like. So let's speak into that for, in your experience, what have you been approached with where people are saying no to living their best, happiest, most awesome life ever?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I actually have experienced that a lot in my career, because I have worked with a lot of different kinds of people. I've worked with morbidly obese, amazing human beings. And I've worked with people who are 92 and 89. And so I've worked with a lot of people who have in their mind limitations. But the work that I do with people is really coaching them into seeing what's possible for them. And I shift their mindset. So that's really why I don't really call myself a personal trainer, because the work that I do is really comes down to, like, the metaphysical and the way that we think about ourselves. So I worked with a client who had multiple sclerosis, and she was so committed to her disease and not being able to do certain things. And I remember we started working with her being able to stand up, like standing up off of like a big exercise ball, and her trusting herself and using her core. And so I just coached her through it and had her shift the way that she was talking to herself. And so we, as humans, we are very committed to our stories, and she was very committed to her story of not being able to do something or not being able to stand up and being in pain and not being able to control her muscles. And so the breakthrough for her was honestly talking to herself in a different way. And when we are so committed to our story, then we don't leave any room for any other possibility. Like, we have to be so right about our story being a certain way. And even if it doesn't support us, I mean, anything that we do more than 21 times becomes a habit, more than 21 days or 21 times. So if we're in pain, if we are in some kind of an injury, or we're limited for a certain reason for an extended amount of time, and we become so used to that way of life and like that limited amount of mobility, that it's really challenging to think beyond those limits. But once we allow ourselves to do the dance with the better feeling story, or what we want to be possible rather than what we're currently experiencing, when we're able to really access that, like, that's the beginning of the breakthrough. That's the beginning of the transition into what's possible for us.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, and I've worked with one client in particular. She gained 100 pounds in 1 year. And I've known her for many years. So watching her go from being super slender to being very, very overweight and having difficulties just walking up the stairs, it's a very beautiful experience, really, because it's such a different journey, you know, and like, what an amazing gift. And I constantly reminding her about how grateful she gets to be for the lessons that she's learning, because she's learning and practicing unconditional love, and something that she's really teaching her family, you know, and her family is really learning how to embrace her the way that she currently is. And she's showing her family how to love no matter what. And like, that's such an amazing breakthrough. And so she's a light worker, she's a healer, she's a giver. So I'm constantly working with her on that level. And when we do our sessions, like the first session that we ever had together, I said to her, you know, this is not going to be a weight loss journey. This is going to be a self-love journey, because she had worked with some of the trainers from The Biggest Loser. She'd worked with like all these doctors, like all these different people that were having her focus on the end result, having her focus on where she currently was not. And because they were having her focus on where she has to be or should be, or where she wants to be and where she isn't right now, it was having her feel shame around her current experience. And so we've been practicing self-love every single day. And I could have said, okay, I'm going to go into your house and we're going to throw away all the food that's not good for you. Like, I've been working with her since August, and I've been empowering her to make her choice and to have the whole journey be up to her. So she finally, this past Friday, said to me, okay, I'm ready to throw away the food that's not good for me anymore. So I went into her home and I had her pick out things, and she was like, okay, slowly pulling things out and putting them in a bag. And she didn't want to throw it away. She wanted to give it away to a homeless person. So I left her home with two big bags for a really amazing and grateful homeless man who lives in my neighborhood. So it was great. So it was a total win-win. But the power in that experience was that she chose that. I didn't tell her that she had to do it or that she should do it, even though I've been planting little seeds here and there and, you know, really been encouraging her to make those choices. Like, her first step was giving up gluten. Like, she was like, all right, I'm not going to have gluten anymore. So she's done with the bread and the pasta. And then finally she's like, okay, like, I'm ready to, you know, get rid of the other stuff. And so she's been swapping out some other things that, so she can still snack. And then finally she'll get to the point of not even needing those foods anymore. So it honestly all comes down to being ready, because she wasn't ready for that part of her journey 6 months ago.
Yeah. And it needed to be on her time. And you could have been a drill sergeant, like she probably experienced in the past with other, especially Biggest Loser type training and stuff, is all just as, it's almost like a fear, like they're creating fear in you, like, you got to do this, do that. And that just makes things worse for most individuals. And even if they do have some success in the sense of losing weight, but it's not going to be long term, because they never actually dealt with the problem that is their own acceptance and their own time and their own self-love. Like, that's huge. Like, anyone who gains 100 pounds in a year it's not about the food. There's something much deeper going on.
Totally.
It's just the food is completely their medication and their way of, you know, self-medicating to not feel something that they're not wanting to deal with. But I've experienced the same thing. When I work with people and pull that out with love and with kindness and compassion, they are so much more willing to to do the next thing. They, because, well, in trust, of course, but like they're willing, like, okay, like, thank you for giving me that moment. I'm okay now. I'm ready to do the next thing. What do you have next for me? But if you're just like, bam, 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 on them, they're just like, whoa, like defense mode. And, you know, you're just not going to get one more anything out of me because I don't like the approach. But coming from love and from kindness and compassion, people are so much more willing to do what you suggest they do. You know, so I think that's fantastic. And I'm so grateful that she gave you that call. I was like, okay, it's time. Like, come clean out the house. Because you could have done that on day one, and she probably would have replaced it within a week and had
Absolutely.
All that stuff back in there if she wasn't ready. But because you
Absolutely.
Did it this way, it was coming from her. So that's phenomenal. And I credit you for also, I didn't know that part about you, but I know who you are as a person, but I didn't know that that's how you were coaching people, and that's just so fantastic, and I'm just completely, another thing for me to admire about you, because you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Charmaine. I appreciate that. You know, I used to be very different in the way that I coach people, because I biologically, technically, scientifically know how to have people lose weight very, very quickly. But I kept coming up against resistance with that because I knew that that really wasn't supporting my overall belief system and who I'm committed to being in this world. And once upon a time, when I was like 24, 25, I was very, very, very skinny. Like I was a size, I'm 5'10". And so I'm probably like a size 8 or so. And so when I was like 24, 25, I was like size 4, very, very skinny, and I was not happy with myself at that time in my life. Like, I still thought that I had to lose more weight, or I needed to lose more weight, or I needed to look a specific way because I was in the fitness industry. And I realized, like, how that endless journey, like, that consistent chase of something that was not really sustainable for myself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's attainable, but it's not sustainable. So,
right.
So it's just not at all what I wasn't having any of my clients be that way. And so I wasn't practicing what I was preaching. So I got very clear that that's not who I get to be in this lifetime. So I've really, totally released my need to look a specific way in this industry. And like, I love to eat. I love food. I love chocolate. I love wine. I love sweet potato fries. Like, I love food and I love to enjoy life. And I don't believe in deprivation. I don't think that we're here on this planet to deprive ourselves of the joys that we have available to us. You know, and of course in a healthy, balanced lifestyle. So, you know, for me, it's really beautiful to like let go of the need to look a certain way, but still honoring my body and loving my body and exercising because I love myself, but not from the space of like, I hate myself. Cause I know I've worked with clients who exercise because they hate their bodies. And that's such a backwards approach because it doesn't, it's like this endless chase and I've been there. So I know it. And I'm very clear about the stand that I get to take for people. And even though it's not necessarily the popular thing to do, because the popular thing to do is lose weight in 6 weeks, you're going to have your six pack abs and you know, get ready for your bikini body for summer. Summer is coming. It's just like, oh God, like that's just, it's so cheesy to me. Like when I see people advertising for that stuff, you know, because I get that it's consumer based and it's what people want to hear. They want the silver bullet. They want the quick fix. They want the, you know, the easy route to have them look amazing in their bikini without doing a whole lot of work. But it's really like the journey. It's the journey and the effort that you put in that has us be who we are. And I love it when I'm feeling challenged and when I'm sweating and it's burning and it's like, I love being uncomfortable because it just means I'm changing. And so that's what I coach my clients into, is loving the journey. And like the byproduct of that is they will probably lose some weight and they will feel amazing and they'll look great. And it's really ultimately coming down to like, how do you want to feel? Because everyone on this planet, everything that we do, every single person and everything that we do is based upon the pure fact and the mentality that we want to feel better. Like we eat a certain kind of food because we want to feel better, even if it's like sugar or fast food or junk food, like, you know, people eat it because they want to feel better in that moment. And so it triggers, you know, that chemical reaction in our body that has us feel better in that moment, but then we feel worse. And then because we feel bad, we have to eat more of the same stuff. And it's like this, you know, this vicious cycle. And then people who exercise, like they just want to feel better. They either want to feel better, look better, or just move better. So it really comes down to like really, really wanting to feel better. And that's why we do everything that we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. That's Oh, you're singing my song, girl. It's just it's amazing, and I know that we have the ability to really affect people so much more deeply than they're aware. Like, I feel like there's this awakening that's happening. People have, it seems like society has been dependent upon the government for, you know, making the choices for our food and telling us what we need to do, and that the USDA food pyramid thing is just ridiculous. Like, it's so out of whack to me and in my training and experience, but people are starting to awaken to the fact that they get to be responsible for their lives and their health and their overall well-being. But that comes with trusting themselves and loving themselves as they are, so that they can make the next step in the progress of getting to their goal. But if they don't love themselves now, that's never going to happen. If they're constantly criticizing themselves, it's just not going to happen. It's just a statistical, you know, fact that they can't. If you're looking in the mirror and hating what you see every day, then you're going to continue to punish that person in the mirror because you're not loving them. And so this is a perfect segue into, if you're comfortable sharing a little bit about your I am and the mission that you have for the future and for everyone. So if you could just speak into a little bit about that, if you're comfortable talking about it.
Yeah, sure. You know, my company, I'll just kind of put it in a very, very small little nutshell. But my company, when I left the Pilates studio years ago, I called it Mission Possible. And I left the studio without having any grandmaster plan. And I started teaching outdoor fitness classes. And I was in, like, I just trusted the universe. And I got all this press. And it was beautiful. So I had a lot of support and reinvented myself many, many times. And eventually, after 5 years of being a super successful company and having a great online presence, got a letter from the lawyers of Paramount. And they said, well, your trademark Mission Possible is too similar to Mission Impossible, so they sent me a cease and desist letter. So I was like, ah, like my whole future came crashing down. But then I was like, all right, cool. So I'm going to choose to look at this as an opportunity to reinvent myself and rebrand. And I came up with the name I'm on a Mission because imonamission.com happened to be available, which was like a total miracle. And I say that all the time, so it was perfect. And I wound up going with that, and I played around with the logo, and I discovered that if I put the acronym for I'm on a Mission in block letters and I make the O a little bit smaller, it looks like it says I am. So my logo has like a couple different meanings. And so, you know, I am has been really cool. I've made a bunch of hats. I'm in the process of creating a clothing line. And so that's very exciting. That's coming up. And I also am just really clear about the power of acknowledging others. So what I'm really focusing my energy on now is interviewing other people who are also on a mission and showcasing and profiling whatever it is that their mission may be and sharing with the world in a really powerful way, because I believe that we all are given opportunities to turn our pain into purpose. And it's the people who turn their pain into purpose that make the biggest difference in this world. And so I'm committed to showcasing them. I love to acknowledge people. So it's an absolute joy for me. I just started interviewing people, and that's what I'm working on with my book and my podcast and also my my web series as well. So totally different direction, but it's so exciting for me.
And again, another opportunity to say yes. Like, you were kind of crushed for a moment and with the I'm on a mission being or Mission Possible being too similar to Mission Impossible. And it's like here, like the wind comes out of your sails after you had spent years like branding that and building that, but only to shift you into a different path that is actually just so much even greater than what you thought it could have been, you know, even greater than where maybe the Mission Possible was headed. So saying yes to it's not defeat so much, but like discouragement kind of like I was, as we were talking before, when we prepped for the show today, talking about how we've both been in the leadership training where they encourage us to, no matter what, just be like, yes, like whatever's happening in our life, just say yes and have that attitude and that energy into it in a positive, even though it tends to get sarcastic in a sense, because you're just like, that guy just crashed his car into the back of my car. Like, it's not a happy thing or whatever. But when we say yes, it's like, okay, I'm open to the opportunity and the possibility that something greater is coming from this. And I don't know what it is, and it's clearly not that my car looks awesome anymore, but there's something here for me. And so
absolutely.
The saying yes kind of has two different ways of saying yes to being brave and taking chances and leaps that you may not have normally done to really feel like you're thriving and you're living your life to its fullest, and then saying yes to the things that are kind of like you really want to say probably a four-letter word that's not going to be on this show, but, you know, like you're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this just happened. I mean, I recently got a ticket for making an illegal U-turn, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody on the street. Like, how could this possibly be happening to me? And I heard that little voice in my head say, just say yes to it. It's like, yes, I'm getting a freaking ticket. This is awesome. You know, it's like finding a way to make even that, any kind of circumstance, just be like, okay, mm-hmm. I've got this. I've survived this many years of my life. Like, I've got this one too. It's kind of a setback. And for me, my lesson in the ticket was to really pay attention to signs. And because the sign was there, I actually even drove back to make sure that it was a no U-turn sign because I was so sure that I was right. And I wasn't. But thank God it didn't turn into an accident. I actually almost got T-boned by the officer because I pulled out and cut him off and then did a turn. And anyway,
it
was just, but it just gives me an awakening and be like, okay, pay attention. Like, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. if you think that road is empty and dark, it's not. Clearly somebody was there. So stop, you know, don't just think that you know it all. Just be open to all possibilities. So.
Yeah. And what a gift, because that whole thing could have been so much worse. So that was an
absolutely.
Absolute blessing.
Absolutely. Well, we've gotten into 45 minutes of the show. We have a caller online. I'm going to go ahead and see if this caller, hello, caller in the 714 area code. Do you have a question or comment for Jenna?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Welcome
awesome.
To the show.
Thank
Where are you calling
you.
From?
Thank you. I'm calling from LA.
Awesome. And what's your name?
My name is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show. What
Hi,
question or comment
you.
Do you have for us today?
Yeah, so I'm loving the show. Thank you so much. And my question is, I tend to feel like I'll feel strong most of the time until it comes to matters of the heart. And I tend to just feel really, like, dependent on the attention or the validation when it comes to a man, like in a romantic relationship. And it sucks to feel so externally, you know, validated, and like I need someone externally to give me that kind of strength. And it's such a weird balance to go from feeling strong and independent, and then once I feel like I like someone or like I'm really falling for someone, to feel so just I feel like that power, you know, like kind of transitions into being like coming from outside of myself and just feeling so vulnerable. It's just a really weird balance, and it almost makes me want to stay alone, you know, to not actually be with someone and to be romantically involved with someone. And I'm just wondering if you guys have any thoughts and, you know, any kind of advice about how to stay in my power, but also be vulnerable and connected with someone else. You know, I'm really inspired by being strong in my feminine, and it's something I don't really know exactly how to do because I feel like it makes me feel weak, you know? So I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know. It's just something I tend to continually go back to, and I would love to hear, you know, hear your thoughts on that.
I love this question. This is the best question ever.
Thank you.
I do too. I'm sorry. I was gonna just keep going, Jenna. Yeah, like absolutely, you take it, girl.
Okay, cool. So the reason why I love this question so much is because it's something that I actually have. You know, I used to experience this on a regular basis. Like, I the way that I used to feel strong was in my business, and if I wanted something to happen, I would make it happen, and I was like always on a mission. And I'm gonna get it done, and so I was always operating in my masculine, and I thought that that was me just being motivating and inspiring and like committed. And so I was continuously operating from that. And it was really interesting because the kind of men that I would date or that I'd experience, they were not into that. Like they at first it was like, cool, she's up to a lot of really big things and she's creating success in her life, but she's not being a woman and therefore creating the space for me to be a man and be the provider and like be in my masculine. So it never worked out for me in the end. So I think that a lot of that was me always being in my masculine, trying to be in control of every single situation, including me getting my heart broken or not getting my heart broken. And so, you know, there's a lot of value in like doing the dance and flowing and receiving and allowing the man to be in control and open the door for you and pay for your dinner and offer to take care of you in some way. I mean, that's really what a man wants to do. Like, it's such a big thing for men to be the provider and to like take the reins and lead and guide and show you the way. And even if you know the way, and even if you have the means to pay for your own dinner, and I'm sure you know how to open your own door, but there's so much beauty in just like letting go of that need and allowing the man to like take the lead and do that. So, you know, I think that, you know, I'm just listening to your energy and I'm really reading into like your space and who you are and some challenges you've been discovering. And I resonate with it very highly because I used to, like I said, I used to come from that space in a lot of ways. So my heart totally goes out to you, and like you really just get to know that there's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to do. It's all about your being, and know that your ways of being are beautiful enough and powerful enough and magnetic enough to have your man find you, to have him come to you and go, whoa, where have you been my whole life? I want to sweep you off your feet and take care of you and like give you an amazing experience in this lifetime. And like, that's really what it comes down to is just focusing on like being your beautiful self, being your goddess self, being your magical, charming, magnetic, beautiful, incredible self. Like that's who you get to be. And the right man will come and find you. Like your mission in this lifetime is not to find your man. Like, I think that's like a big misconception. There's a lot of women who are like, I'm going to go find my guy. I'm going to find the guy who's going to be the dad to my kids. And I'm going to find my guy. And it's like that whole energy is so unattractive. So I just
imagine like the caveman in that when you were saying that. I'm thinking like the caveman picture where they club the girl and they pull her by her hair. But it's like it's reversed now. It's like we're clubbing the guy, taking him and dragging him by the back of his head. It's like, I found my man. I got my man.
Yeah, no, guys are not into that. And the guys who are into that, you don't want to date those guys.
No. I totally agree with this. And that's a great question, Lauren. I'm sorry, Jenna, do you have more? I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
No, I was just, I mean, everything that Jenna said, I echo because I'm also extremely like in my masculine and self-sufficient, and I don't need anybody, and I don't need, you know, I've been that way since birth, I think. And I have an example. I mean, I've been with my husband 20 years, but I have an example that just came up yesterday from another friend, and she was talking about how her husband was surprising her and taking her out to dinner, but she had no idea where. And the first thing that came to my mind is, one, my husband never does that for me. And then two, I was like, oh my gosh, there was that one time way back when we started dating where he was like, get dressed up. I'm taking you this fancy dinner, blah, blah, blah. It's super nice. And so I dressed up in like little itty bitty skirt, you know, black skirt, black high heels, like looking phenomenal. And I walk into this restaurant that's like in a strip mall, and there's sawdust on the floor, and the waiters are wearing overalls.
Oh, no.
And it's like a total, I was like, I look like a prostitute. Like, why did you bring me here? This is horrible. And I was so upset about it and so verbal about it that I realized yesterday when I was sharing the story with my girlfriend that's why I think I crushed him right then and there. Like, he never tried again. And so completely echoing what Jenna was saying is like, it's the way of being, you know. It's not so much that we can't do it. Like, I can open my door and I can drive. I actually prefer to drive us places because I think I'm a better driver than he is. And I just get nervous when he's driving. But I realized only in the last few months how important that makes him feel to be able to be the driver, you know, to be the man in the family, because I'm pretty dominant and I've pretty much got everything handled. So we don't really, need more male energy, but where does that leave him? What does he have left to give if he can't be the man? If I'm going to be the man and the woman, which I'm not as good at being the woman, so I'm working on that, but if we can't share the flow of masculine and feminine back and forth and integrate them together, then really it's just a disservice. And I'm the one in our relationship who I feel is really suffering. So I'm just like, oh, he's not doing this stuff. Well, it's because I never allowed him, I gave him space to do it. And that was because of who I was being to him and with him that he didn't have that opportunity.
Wow. Yeah. For me, I'm really hearing, I feel like as you guys were talking, I was just getting all these flashbacks in different relationships that I've had and the way that I've been being in those relationships and how a lot of times when I am single and I was saying I'm feeling confident and all this stuff, that I'm actually, you know, it's kind of an inauthentic way of being because I am like resting on all these things that I'm doing and like my business and just all these accomplishments and stuff like that. Whereas once I shift into liking someone, I actually start to come from a place of fear and like, really, I mean, the main thing is fear, right, that I'm operating from. And rather than, you know, shifting into feeling like resting in strength and being vulnerable and, you know, and I do believe that it all comes from a place of fear or love. And I think that the reason why if I go into a place of fear is just because I'm so caught up in the past and things that have happened before. And it's just like a cancer, you know, in the new relationship. So, yeah. And I think that even just coming from that place of fear, it's very emasculating to the person who I'm seeing because it just communicates that I don't trust. So, and that's really what a man wants to provide.
I love this. Yes, totally. All of that. And I love this so much because exactly what you're speaking into with the way you're showing up in relationships is a perfect metaphor for anything else in life. Like all of our conversations about what we want to create, what do we want to experience. I mean, honestly, what flows to us more abundantly is based upon like the way that we've been showing up and we've been being, not really like the doing and the accomplishing our to-do list and like getting all these things done. It's really ultimately like who we're choosing to be that has the life that we've always wanted to have be completely attracted to who we're being. And so it's exactly what Charmaine, like the topic of the show is all about. So beautiful. Like the way that you get to choose to be in relationships that you want to create, manifest in your life is the same way with like other opportunities and possibilities or opportunities with people that you want to work with or like Charmaine, like you wanted to create this show and here it is. And so it just all comes down to being.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lauren, so much for calling in and for sharing and being vulnerable with us. Now you get to go out there and say yes to those men and be vulnerable with them too and let the feminine play. Let the feminine lead the way for a little while.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call. And I think this is the first step of shifting in how I'm being just by being, you know, being vulnerable and asking these questions. And I think it's, you know, going to be a catalyst in moving forward. So thank you so much. And it's an awesome show.
You're very brave. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a second to acknowledge our sponsor for the show. It's audible.com. And it was mentioned at the beginning of the show today where you can get a free audible.com book, which I happened to go do as soon as I heard about it. And I purchased Think and Grow Rich, and I've already listened to it multiple times. And for me, being on the road as much as I am and not able to sit and read, I've got kids and dogs and a busy life. And so for me, audible.com has been phenomenal in helping me to get those books under my belt that I have not yet been able to sit and technically read in a hardback or softback cover. So I am grateful for audible.com. And I also want to mention a couple of the upcoming shows. Tomorrow, which is the 13th, we have Unleash Your Potential. That'll be on this network, as well as Spiritually Speaking, which is a phenomenal show as well. I will be back next Monday, a week from tomorrow, with two of my favorite co-hosts, Danica Treble and Dorothy Doctor. The three of us do the Life Coach Chat channel next Monday the 20th. I believe it's 11 o'clock Pacific time. And then my show will be back on again in 2 weeks. On the 26th, I will be airing at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on the 26th of April. And I just want to thank my guest today, my extraordinarily amazing guest, Jenna Phillips. Before we close, will you just give the listeners the ways or the best ways to reach you, to support you, and follow your what you're up to?
Yes, thank you, Charmaine. I really appreciate that. If you go to jennaphillips.com, you can find out more about me and who I am and what I'm up to in the world. And if you want to find out about I'm on a Mission, you can check that out at imonamission.com. And if you'd like to have your story be featured, there is a form on the website, and I'd love to share your mission with the world and talk about who you are committed to being for everyone on this planet and in this lifetime. So jennaphillips.com and imonamission.com as well. And you can also find both of us on social media as well. Just go ahead and Google search and you'll find us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Jenna. A million thank yous for being my very special and very first guest ever. I'm so grateful for you, what you're up to in the world, and how you are changing lives. And you've certainly changed mine. And I'm just, I'm forever grateful for knowing you, girl, and for saying yes to this and yes to all the things, because you have been that pioneer and made it okay for me to say yes to more in my life. So thank you so much for that. I am so grateful for you.
Thank you, Charmaine. I love you so much.
I love you. Everybody, thank you for calling in, for listening tonight. I hope you have a fabulous week, and I will hear you again on the 26th. Take care. Bye-bye.